Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season. Monday morning, you show the fight. Friday, I got traveling on my mind. First you love me, then you fade away. I can't go on believing this. It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Hey, it's a beautiful Saturday here in the Northwest, and of course, I'm thinking golf and maybe a little grilling, and the master producer there, David Shurtleff, he's just thinking about the food at the end of the grilling. That's what he does. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have a job where you could eat anywhere you wanted to on somebody else's nickel and then get paid for doing it? Well, today, here on the Nation, we welcome Michael Russell, the food reviewer. I'm not going to call you a critic. I'm going to call you a reviewer. How's that?
That works for me.
Yeah. From the Oregonian newspaper. And, of course, we got Fleetwood Mac today. I kind of said I'd never do Fleetwood Mac on the show, but here I am doing Fleetwood Mac. Anyway, Michael, welcome. And tell us about a little bit, before we get into the particulars, about your history in writing and journalism and that. I mean, they didn't just come pick you off the street to do this.
No, I've been working at the Oregonian for 10 years as of this November, mm-hmm. and I started actually basically at the ground floor mailroom. I was a clerk in the sports department, calling coaches late at night. They were often drunk down at the pizza parlor,
yeah,
trying to catch scores for high school football games, and also taking calls from John Canzano, things like that.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Eventually, I worked my way up to a reporter, breaking news reporter, and into the features department.
There you go. And had you had any background with food? I mean, other than your own personal consumption? I mean, had you done any work? And it doesn't matter whether you did or you didn't, because we all start somewhere. But had you worked in restaurants or done any anything around the food industry
before? Yeah, I had. I grew up in Berkeley, California, and my first jobs were all in restaurants, mostly in Oakland, where I went to high school.
Did you have any hesitation about taking the job? You know, when you're a critic, reviewer, sometimes you're not the most popular guy, and sometimes you're very popular. So did you think about that before you said, yeah, boss, I'll take this?
Yeah, that's a question I struggled with. I came from, I'd been doing news for the Oregonian for a long time, so that part came pretty easily. But then when it came time to put your opinion to paper, that's another level altogether. You've got to sometimes say when you love something, but also when you hate it.
Right. Now, one of the things, and little full discretion here, when I was in college, I was a movie and a music reviewer. So I got to go to the movies all the time, you know, like that. Well, finally, in Corvallis, there was one theater, and they figured out who I was. So then they started giving me free movie passes and stuff. And, you know, being chintzy, cheap college kid, you know, I took them, and I wouldn't do that today. A little, probably not the best ethically to do that. But when I, you know, they were just showing the pictures. They didn't create the films. Anyway, I guess the point is that in doing that, anonymity is a big issue. Now, didn't somebody kind of mistakenly out you?
Well, let me back up just a little bit and talk about the difference between reviewing movies and reviewing restaurants. I mean, because that's actually a big difference. And a lot of movie reviewers, including ones here in Portland, their studios will host screenings of the movie before it comes out to the general audience. So you're invited down. You don't have to pay. You sit in a room where it's just you and other critics, essentially. And then you can write about the movie with the caveat that your review can't post until a certain time.
Sure.
Now, with restaurants, it's a little bit different because in my case, I go out and I pay for the meal, and then I go back and expense it to the Oregonian. Our policy is not to accept free meals
right.
From restaurants. So it's a little difference. And the other main distinction is, for me, if I wrote a movie or a music review, it's a lot easier to, you know, tear down the latest Hollywood blockbuster because you're never going to have to run into
George Clooney.
George Clooney in the hallway.
But yeah.
Here in Portland, you know, one of the very first reviews I wrote was of Beast Restaurant, which is Nomi Pomeroy's sort of supper club up in Northeast Portland. And to be honest, my first review, it wasn't my strongest review. And I did get a call from her the very next day, and she was not happy.
Yeah.
We've since made up.
Well, good. But I think that's important because, you know, you're a guide to people. I mean, you're telling them your opinion, you know, what things you ate or what have you, the ambiance of the restaurant and all that. But still, you're a guide. I think people look to you to say, you know, they're on their Friday night and they say, honey, where do you want to go out to dinner? And they look up Michael's stuff and he went to a particular place and said, yeah, thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. And I think that's important.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And yeah. I've had the luxury of being in this job for 5 years, and when I started, my presence online was very, very minimal. Mm-hmm. I think for most people under 30 these days, there's hundreds of photos out on the internet from their Facebook page or Instagram.
Sure.
If it's Snapchat, it's probably disappeared, but they're out there to be found. For some reason, I didn't really have those, and we were able to remove the two or three images that were out there. So I enjoyed a pretty long run where nobody had any idea who I was. Since the past couple years, things have changed a little bit, so I've become a little bit more known, and that's sort of a, you know, interesting gray area to be in, so we'll see how we navigate that going forward.
How do you decide when and where to go to a particular spot?
That's a great question. Some places I hear about from sources just like you would if you were covering politics.
Sure.
Like there's a new Korean restaurant out in Beaverton that I'm reviewing soon. I probably never would have heard about it if it hadn't been for a friend emailing me to say, you got to check this place out. It specializes in Korean drinking food. And it's the only restaurant like it in that I know of in Oregon. So
Korean drinking food?
Yeah, imagine like take American dorm food, like what you'd eat if you were a college student on a limited budget.
Sure.
And then add in some Korean flavors. So we're talking about like
a lot of chopped up ramen or something.
Literally, we're talking about ramen, and then add some spam, and then throw two Kraft singles on top, let them melt, and you've got one of these dishes.
Wow.
And it's pretty delicious, actually.
Well, they probably are. I remember I ate a lot of stuff in college that, creativity-wise, probably wasn't the best as to where I am now in the food world, but they tasted good at the time. That was good. Do you ever give a restaurant a second chance?
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually, every year we go back and re-review about 150 restaurants for our restaurant guide. So mm-hmm. our restaurant guide is 101 places total, but I'll visit maybe 50 more than that to see if a place has improved and deserves to get in.
Sure.
And then we'll write a fresh review of them. So yeah, we do give places second chances.
Now, do you do this every day? Do you do it once a week? Not trying to spill the beans here and, you know, lose your cloak and dagger type image, but how often do you go out and do a restaurant?
Well, that's a good question. Usually I'm out eating three nights a week, maybe four. And right now I'm working on this restaurant guide that I mentioned. And in this case, it's kind of like consider the playoffs for NBA basketball.
Yeah.
I'm eating out every single night of the week, sometimes two meals a night, in order to fit in all the places I need to visit before I finish my writing, excuse me.
Now, do you have your own particular, I'm sure you do, we all do, you have your own haunts you like to go to where it's you and your sports buddies or whatever, and you do that, and so you kind of take the mantle off of, you know, food critic for the O, and you're just Michael Russell kicking back, having a few, watching the Warriors. You're a Warrior guy. So.
Yeah, split allegiance. Yeah. Love the Blazers too, but I grew up in the Bay Area, so. Definitely loving the Warriors, going for hitting 73 wins. To answer your question, I don't really have a ton of haunts. There's a few lunch places I visit all the time. There's a food cart called Nong's Khao Man Gai that does a chicken and rice dish that's probably the best-known food cart dish in town, and I eat that a lot. And I don't go there and say, hey, I'm Michael Russell from the Oregonian. But I do. I am a regular there. I would say.
Well, that's good. So we're going to be back on Barbecue Nation with Michael Russell, the food critic from the Oregonian. We're going to be talking about barbecue in particular coming up. And don't go away.
Hey, this is Wayne Miller with Louis Miller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas, and you're listening to Barbecue Nation with JT.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with David Shurtleff, and we've got Michael Russell from the Oregonian today. We're going to be talking to Michael in a minute just more about barbecue. A couple of business items to take care of here. You can email us at Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation, at KXL.com, or if you want to send us a recipe, you can do recipes at KXL.com. We also like to thank all the listeners all the way down the line in the Radio Northwest Network that carry the show. We appreciate it. And if you're not carrying it, even though you can't hear this message, talk to your local station and ask them if they want to carry it. There you go. Speaking of Barclays, our friends over at Barclays down in Woodburn, you want to slip by there on this sunny weekend. Get in there and ask them for some of their specials. They've got lots of things, over 10,000 items on the floor. Most of them I bet you've never seen before. So that's at Barclays. Go down and ask for Mark or Jamie. Tell them I sent you. David, we have a Facebook page too, don't we now?
Yep, Barbecue Nation with JT on Facebook.
And there's lots of stuff on there.
Yeah, we'll be posting articles and recipes and links to how to listen to the show.
Yeah, we've done that. David's done that. And we're tweeting. We took my old Twitter account. I'm a golf nut, Michael. If you can't tell. And so we kind of took that, and my handle was CalCook57. That way I could get golfers and food people both in there. And we're doing pretty well on Twitter. So anyway, all right, back to Michael here from the Oregonian. Barbecue in the metro area. Now, you did a thing a while back where you kind of went to all the barbecue places. I don't know if you went to every one of them, but maybe you tried to. What, in like four counties or something?
Yeah, actually it was seven counties.
Seven counties.
I don't know if I can name them off the top of my head, but.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I trust
Multnomah
you.
Being the big one. Yeah.
Multnomah, Clackamas, Washington, Marion, Clark County and Vancouver or something like that.
Hit Yamhill.
Yamhill.
Hit Hood River.
There you go.
Yeah, there. I think we've got it.
There. Okay. So what did you find?
I found a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, you know, the thing about barbecue in America, from a someone eating out's point of view, I'm not talking about grilling at home, obviously, is barbecue is intensely regional. And people who like barbecue in eastern North Carolina don't necessarily love it in Texas. And then they look at Kansas City, which has such a great reputation, and they think, what's that? That's not barbecue. We do real barbecue. But here in Oregon, we don't really have that longstanding barbecue tradition. So most of the better places and newer places in the state tend to take a little bit of this from here, a little bit of that from there. And you have places like Reverend's Barbecue down in Selwood, Podna's Pit up in northeast Portland. And you see places like those, and they're taking a little bit of something from North Carolina, a little bit something from Texas. You'll see mustard on the table. You might not necessarily see that in Texas. You might not see sauce at all if you're in Texas. And, you know, it's sort of a grab bag of styles.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Of course, I've been to a lot of them, and I don't walk in and announce, I'm JT from Barbecue Nation or anything like that. I just go in and try them, you know, and I don't talk about them on the air. Not that I wouldn't if somebody wanted to talk about their restaurant on the air. I mean, we've had restaurateurs on the show, but I agree with you. I think that we've got a very diverse base of barbecue here. You know, you've got the purists that say, you got to have your brisket's got to have a half inch thick bark on it, and you got to do this and you got to do that. And then other people say, no, you know, we do it this way, or some people don't do brisket. They do tri-tips or sirloin flaps or whatever cut of meat they want to use. It doesn't matter. And they enjoy it. And I think that's one of the good things about barbecue and dining in the Portland area, or just in the seven counties, if you will, that you can get a lot of diverse styles. And then they're kind of creating their own style. I think, you know, they pull a little here and pull a little there and kind of say, well, that works for me and that.
Well, yeah, let's go back to Podnospit, for example. Sure. The owner is a guy named Rodney Muirhead. He grew up in barbecue country in Texas, where, you know, smoked brisket is the meat of choice. You'll see ribs, you'll see other things, but that smoked brisket is the defining meat of the style of barbecue where he's from. But if you go up to his restaurant, which I recommend you do, it's up on Northeast Killingsworth. I'm not getting paid for that.
No,
just like it quite a bit.
It's okay.
And you'll find a pulled pork sandwich that you can add a vinegar sauce or a mustard sauce, which are styles that you would probably be more likely to see in the Carolinas.
Right.
And guess what? It's pretty fantastic, too. So, yeah, we in some ways we have the best of both worlds, even though I think our barbecue scene still has a lot of room to grow.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. But, you know, I'm just kind of running over some stuff, different guests and things we've had on the show, because it'll be a year coming up next month that I've been doing this show. And, you know, it's funny because some of them sit in that chair and they'll say, well, whatever it is, whether it's Carolina or Arkansas or Texas or now Santa Maria or something like that out of California, theirs is kind of you know, they pay a little homage to somebody else, but theirs is the style to do it. And having traveled extensively in my life, I'd say, well, no, not really. You know, it's good, and you do a good job at what you're doing, but I don't think that that is the only style of barbecue there is.
Well, on the flip side, I love that sense of pride and that sense of ownership of a style. And, you know, a part of me wishes that more restaurants or even food carts would say, look, we're just going to focus on maybe even if it's Arkansas barbecue, maybe if it's even, you know, Eastern North Carolina.
Sure.
And examples of those do exist, but I'd like to see more places embrace that, because maybe it's a chance to, like, perfect your craft in the way that Nong's Cowman Guy, the place that I mentioned I'm a regular at in the first segment, she just makes, at her cart, she just makes one dish, essentially. It's chicken over rice with a ginger sauce, and she does it day in and day out, and it's essentially perfect.
I like that. I got one quick question for you, because we got to go to break here in a second. Do you think in Texas, in your first home ec class, do they just hand you a brisket and say, this is what you're going to cook the rest of your life. Here's a 12-pound brisket. Have at it. I've always wondered that, seeing like little boys and little girls carrying this brisket.
Well, it takes a lifetime to master.
It does take a lifetime.
Better to start young.
Yes. We're going to be back here on Barbecue Nation with Michael Russell from The Oregonian, food reviewer and critic extraordinaire, right after this.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Nation, the Barbecue Nation here on KXL in Portland and the Radio Northwest Network. Did you ever see Fleetwood Mac when they did that with the USC marching band live? That song's called Tusk. That was so much fun.
You know, there's a restaurant in Portland opening this year called Tusk.
Is there really?
And it's named for that song, and it's an album too, right?
Yeah.
Love hearing this Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, it was funny. Anyway, we can talk more about that later. A couple of things I want to talk to you about: the Black Olive Pellet Grill, really quickly. Black Olive Pellet Grill can start in about 3 minutes. You can be grilling in about 7 to 8 minutes.
It's a Kamado style grill, and it's fantastic. I actually have one, and I use it, and it's a lot of fun. And you can find out more about that at blackoliveusa.com. David, you got some news.
Yeah, I thought it might be fun to ask Michael how he would approach this situation as a food reviewer. In Bastrop, Texas, they're opening the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Barbecue Resort. And it's the first horror barbecue joint, and it'll be opening this summer. It's the original filming location for the movie in which the patriarch of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre family would kidnap travelers and turn them into chili and serve them to his customers. They're going to build a smokehouse. They'll have some cabins to rent in it so you can stay overnight if you want. And the restaurant will be all barbecue, and they will also have concerts on site. So, Michael, how do you approach reviewing something that's gimmicky like this?
That's a good question. I guess the Friday the 13th barbecue place didn't work out. It's only open once every blue moon.
Yeah. Guess it brings a new meaning to the word finger sandwiches, doesn't it?
That's a great question. I mean, I guess you'd go into it with an open mind and with the knowledge that you'd try anything at least once. Hope it's not actually humans in that chili.
They're claiming to be a legit barbecue joint.
Well, they probably are, but, you know, that kind of brings to mind something like Chuck E. Cheese's or one of those. You know, that's kind of a horror thing in itself. Now, don't hate me, Chuck E. Cheese, for saying that, but our daughter.
Like the pizzeria is named for Child's Play, the movie, right?
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, God, it's just crazy. I don't know.
You know, at the end of the day, it would depend on how the food is. You know,
sure.
How does the barbecue stack up? You can get some customers in the door with a stunt, but if you want them to come back, you're going to have to serve pretty good barbecue.
When you're doing your reviews, do you talk about the ambiance or what it's like inside, or are you just food only?
Oh, no, I talk about everything, the whole experience, you know, from ambiance to service to the food, obviously.
I just have the vision in that thing that it's just going to be like, you know, brisket or something, and it's just going to be slathered with sauce in a bun. That's, for some reason, because those types of places just, you know, they're just moving people through. You know, come through, walk through, you know, let us run the chainsaw over your head and that type of thing. You know, here's your sandwich, have your Coke, and get the hell out of here. That's, I don't know why. I'm probably way off base there.
Well, I'll see if I can't line up an interview with them, and we'll find out for ourselves.
Let's do that. Quick thing here before we go into the lightning round. Does price point make a difference on anything to you? I mean, obviously you get to expense it, but I mean, when you're talking and reviewing something, you can say, man, I think this is a little overpriced.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the job that I have is at its most basic, it's a consumer watchdog job.
Sure.
Know? I mean, I try to have fun with my reviews and to make them lively, to bring you into the restaurant. But at the end of the day, you're telling people whether they should spend their money at a place or not, and I take that pretty seriously.
Yeah. So you just don't go, hey, this is a rancid piece of goat colon here or something, and just, you know, blow it off. Probably never heard that before, but
that's kind of, if you've had good goat colon, you'll know the rancid stuff is just a shame.
The shame, it's I won't say it. Anyway, don't forget, you can email us at barbecuenation@kxl.com or at recipes@kxl.com. So, Michael Russell, are you ready for the lightning round?
Hit me.
Okay. Michael Russell, barbecue and food reviewer from the Oregonian. If we made you czar of barbecue for 1 week, what would you decree?
Everyone should go try Matt's Barbecue up on Northeast MLK.
Okay. Who would you like to cook for you? Doesn't have to be barbecue, but even though it's a barbecue show.
Well, I think it would be a guy who was a guest on your show, Aaron Franklin from Franklin Barbecue in Austin.
Well, we'll see if we can set that up one of these days. One thing you wish you had never eaten?
I could probably do without having eaten fish eyes.
Yeah. It didn't improve your vision or anything?
Gelatinous things like that.
Yeah.
Raw crab, I'll probably pass.
You can pass on that, okay. Do you like your meat or your food marinated or not marinated?
I'm a marinated guy.
Are you? With or without alcohol? You don't have to answer that. I already know the answer. So,
well, it was my birthday yesterday. So.
Yeah, it was your birthday. One person you wish you had never
met. Ex-girlfriends, ex-spouses, ex-partners don't count.
I'm a pretty nice guy. I give everyone the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. Okay. What is the best?
Sorry to be boring on that.
What is the best day of activities contained for Michael?
The best day of activities?
Yeah. If you can do anything you want in a 24-hour period, what does that contain for you?
A great day for me might be riding my bike out along Marine Drive and the little path along the Columbia River, heading out to a little Peruvian joint I know out in Gresham called El Inca. Eating some rotisserie chicken and fried calamari, things like that, and then biking home.
There you go. What's your favorite comfort food, like in the wintertime?
I really like noodle soups, Vietnamese noodle soups, ramen, even menudo from Mexican restaurants. I was at Angel Food and Fun up in the Coley neighborhood just a couple days ago and had a fantastic bowl of menudo.
There you go. Favorite band or musical group?
Put me on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, Fleetwood Mac sounds pretty good today,
Fleetwood Mac. Sounds good. Favorite beverage?
Let's go with bourbon, because okay. That's what I had last night for my birthday.
That's what you got.
Four Roses single barrel.
Best advice for weekend warriors when they're looking for that place on Saturday night or Sunday afternoon to kind of go chill and have a nice meal. What do they look for? I mean, besides reading your column.
I'm a big sucker for some of Portland's best Italian restaurants. I love Nostrana and Renata in Southeast Portland. And I really like the Firehouse, which is more of a neighborhood joint up in the Woodlawn neighborhood in Northeast Portland.
Oh, that's cool. Which do you prefer in your as your protein in this stuff, especially in the wintertime, beef or pork, when you're going out to do barbecue?
Lamb.
Lamb? You like lamb?
If I can find it.
Uh-huh. I think you're the first person that's ever said that on the show. I love lamb, but I mean, you know, you don't hear it very often.
Well, my mom was raised on a sheep farm in Scotland, actually. So
was she really?
Grew up eating lamb.
Good for you. Okay, last couple questions here. Have you ever cooked in the snow in your underwear?
Have I ever cooked in the snow?
Like, you ever
been
outside grilling or doing anything in the snow in your underwear?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So nonchalant.
So not sure. Why not?
Who hasn't?
Who hasn't done that? Boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
Attaboy. Okay.
I got one more.
Yeah, okay. Hit me, David.
Best hangover restaurant.
Ooh, that's a great question. I'm going to go with Pho Oregon on Northeast 82nd Ave for a bowl of pho.
All right.
Killer. That'll get you right.
Yeah, I don't have those problems anymore. Not that I don't drink, I just can't drink like I used to. So I don't even try to keep up anymore. It's like one drink, I'm like, oh, good night. Anyway, so a couple of things coming up here. We've got some. If you're traveling and you're out and about this weekend, if you happen to be in Cornella, Georgia, you can go to the Cornella Apple Blossom Barbecue and Brews, not Blues, but Brews as in Brewski Festival. Also, the Interstate Barbecue Festival in Hagerstown, Maryland. Is this weekend Robert's Ranch Smoking Red Dirt Barbecue in Enid, Oklahoma. You ever been to Enid, Oklahoma?
No, I have not.
I have.
You regret it?
Next question. and the Ultimate Barbecue Showdown, East versus West in Wildomar, California. This is East versus West 7, and it's a state championship. So if you're at, and High on the Hog in Winchester, Tennessee. So, you know, if you're traveling around the country right there, just from what we talked about, there's half a dozen different styles of barbecue that you could sample that. Yeah. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back and wrap up the show with our new friend, Michael Russell, food reviewer for the Oregonian and barbecue extraordinaire, even though he's got a touch of the dry, you know, need to shave your tongue this morning.
Hey there, I'm Aaron Franklin from Franklin Barbecue in Austin, Texas, and you're listening to Barbecue Nation with JT.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. High above the skyline here in beautiful downtown Portland, where we're broadcasting from. It's me, JT, along with David Shurtleff and Michael Russell from the Oregonian today. I was going to tell you, I guess I should tell you about Bear Mountain Forest Products before we get into this next one, because it's going to make people freak out this next segment a little bit. Bear Mountain Forest Products make the best pellets in the world for your pellet stoves. They don't use any glues or any artificial oils. It's all done by compression. I've been there. I've seen it. I use them myself. And I would recommend that you go to your local barbecue retailer and ask them for a Bear Mountain Forest Products. And they have all kinds of flavors, apple, cherry, all this stuff. And it works out really well. Bear Mountain Forest Products. Check them out online at BearMountainForestProducts.com. Okay, David, spill on this thing.
All right, we got a new food invention. It's called the food sniffer, and it was invented because of food waste and food illness. And now, essentially, the inventor thought the sell-by date and expiration date are different things and became concerned with the amount of waste across the world. Roughly $165 billion worth of edible food gets thrown out each year.
Sure.
And then
half of that in my house.
As well, he got food poisoning once, and so he invented a machine that is essentially a robotic nose, and you link it to your phone, and then you wave it across meat, and it'll tell you if it's fresh, needs to be cooked well done, or just needs to be thrown out altogether.
Now, I'd like to see you go into a restaurant with that thing and wave it over the plate, just for once.
Why can't you just use your own nose?
I don't know. Maybe this is sensitive to the chemical reactions in the breakdown of the meats. I'm
yes,
not sure.
It's super sensitive. It tests moisture and different chemical components. And the part where you say, why don't you just trust your own nose, is because if you're my wife, you don't trust your nose. You trust that it says sell-by, and it's out on sell-by date, when in reality it's 3 to 5 days past the sell-by date that food is still good.
Let's say that again. The sell-by date, you have 3 to 5 days, depending upon the product, afterwards. I hope my wife is listening to this show, because sometimes even the day before the sell-by date, she'll open up the thing of milk and go, oh, and dump it out. And I'm like, we just bought that. You know, we bought that like 4 days ago. It's okay. No, it's the date, you know.
Also, I think if they can make that widely available, it would probably be a good thing. I mean, food waste is a pretty serious problem.
It is.
In this country. And you see statistics where we lose a third of our food just because, you know, maybe it's too ugly to be displayed at the supermarket, or, you know, once it reaches the consumer, it goes bad in your fridge. And if we had a better way of knowing, like, yes, this is actually bad, or no, this is just the sort of artificial date that they've stamped on it, that'd probably be a good thing for everybody.
I need it because sometimes I'm an animal and will just eat whatever's in front of me. So I've been known to catch a case of food poisoning in my life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I won't comment on any of this right now. So, Michael, do you cook at home at all?
Well, not right now, because I'm eating out all the time for our restaurant guide, which, yeah, if I can plug, it comes out sure. June 5th in sure. print and a little bit earlier online, so first week of June. So I haven't seen my kitchen for about 2 months.
Now, when you cook, do you cook indoors or outdoors or both or whatever suits you?
I love to grill. I'm more of a live fire cook than a smoker guy. But, man, I do appreciate good people who know how to use their smoker, that's for sure.
Well, you just have to come hang out in this studio, because once in a while, I didn't do it this week, but normally I bring in a sack full of something I've grilled or smoked or done something with and plop it down, and then my partner over here is gone.
I'm just down the road, so you text me and I come up anytime.
You come up and get your bicycle over here or
yeah,
just run. Well, Michael Russell, I want to thank you for being on the show today, and why don't you give people any information you want, like can they email you, can they follow your Twitter feeds, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I write for the Oregonian, our website's OregonLive.com. Put a /dining at the end, you'll find most of my articles. I can be found on Twitter at TDM Russell. Other social media is the same handle, including Instagram. I've been posting some pretty photos of breakfast this morning that you can go search for and, you know, live vicariously through me.
There you go. We will post that also on our website, won't we, David?
Yep.
I should say David will post that on our website, won't
Thanks,
you, David?
Don't worry. You'll email me and remind me.
I will do that. All right. And again, you can email us at barbecuenation@kxl.com. And I want to thank Michael Russell for being with us today. Also, David did another fine job this week, and all of our affiliates down the line. McGarian is on deck, and Bushlack is second up to the plate to bat here. You can check out my personal website at thecowboycook.com. Until next week, everybody, take care. We'll see you then.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is produced and tolerated by David Shurtleff.